welcome, welcome. Revolutionaries, you're back. We've got another week. And look at, you know what? And it's another powerhouse guest. Oh my goodness. Last week we were graced with USAID speechwriter and communications director Christina Dry. If you missed that episode, you really don't want to. Some of the stuff that she talked about, you know, being in the room when those DOGE agents, the brown shirts as I call them, were going through the USAID building and just hearing what that experience was like, and you know, as the first agency that really came under the gun of the Trump administration, it was so eye-opening. And if I know we had some issues with like Spotify and all that kind of stuff, but I believe they're all live and you can listen to them. Go to civicmedia.us and you can listen to them there. But that really, really was a incredible interview. And not by me, of course, but by Christina Dry, because she is really amazing. But this week, I've got some more amazing people. And they are going to help sort through what the Trump administration is doing to decimate our local farmers, because that's a big deal. I am joined by Xochitl Torres-Small, who is the former Deputy Secretary of the U.S. Department of Agriculture, serving under President Joe Biden. What is going on?
It's so great to be here. Hi from New Mexico. Glad to have a chat.
And it's such an honor that you're here, and I am so grateful for that. And also joining me to help me, because this is not my area of expertise, is my friend, seventh generation progressive dairy farmer, expert, consultant, and all around good guy, Mr. Daniel Olson.
Hey.
What's
thanks.
Up?
Good to be here.
Thank
good
you for here. Coming. Fun fact, we had a snafu, and I am so glad that he is here. We had a couple weeks ago a scheduling mess up by me, and I'm so glad that he's here. So, all right, Xochitl, you worked under President Joe Biden. You were the leader, you know, of the organization. What was that like?
It was such an honor to get to work at USDA. I started out as Undersecretary for Rural Development, and then about a year and a half in, got tapped to serve as Deputy Secretary, which is really in charge of the back end. If you're thinking about it, it's kind of like, you know, if you've got the President and the Vice President, it was the Secretary, Tom Vilsack, and then me as the Deputy Secretary, and in charge of things like hiring and permitting and IT. So a lot of the cuts that we're seeing now, I was in charge of trying to make that all work better as a government.
You know, and it's interesting because one of the talking points that's being said now is, oh, we're just trying to go back to pre 2019 staffing levels. Like, that's not true. That's just
not what's happening. And it's not strategic at all. You know, I mean, I came from a rural district before serving at USDA. I was a member of Congress in one of the most rural districts in the country. It was the bottom half of New Mexico. And so when I came into the administration, I was really interested in how do we do things more efficiently? How do we make sure we're reaching rural places and with people in the administration who know rural places? So with DOGE, I thought, well, you know, there are some places where we could do things more efficiently. How can we use and leverage AI, for example, in a better way? Or how do we make sure we're supporting the state and regional offices at USDA to be able to have a closer connection to the countryside? But that's just not what's happening in this environment.
What are some of the things that that were goals that you guys had? You were Secretary Vilsack. What did you do that you know, when you were in?
You know, when you look at USDA and you look at how we support farmers, we just know that it's crucial to make sure we're reaching all farmers. In the past, a lot of the subsidies have really been focused on and went to the largest operations. And the operations that are as efficient as possible, you know, it makes sense because we want to make sure we're feeding our country and feeding our world. But we've also got to support our small and mid-sized farmers. And that's what the Biden-Harris administration did. They worked to provide expand programs that could reach any farmer, regardless of size, whether that's expanding the local markets by providing contracts to local farmers for regional schools or food banks, or whether that was helping add value to their crops or to their product through whether it's making milk, cheese, or butter, or whether it was using climate smart commodities to be able to access a whole new worldwide market.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that, you know, I see on your post, Daniel. Some of the stuff that you put out there is fascinating. Like, you talk about dairy farmers getting into how many kernels are on the corn that they, it's crazy. Like, it's really incredible. And how to fertilize sustainably, and how to, you know, like, that's the information there is so much bigger than what my brain can comprehend.
Well, there certainly is a lot of science involved in farming. And I think, you know, historically farmers have always been cutting edge. Maybe they didn't always understand exactly why things happen, but they've always been progressive in that sense. And more so maybe in the past few decades, as margins have shrunk, as farms have maybe expanded and brought in more expertise, there just isn't the room for waste. And so on a farm level, farmers really understand optimization and technology, and have accepted that side of it fairly openly.
How do you think science in farming, and farmers really believe in science. How is it going to change with an administration that repeatedly has proven that they really don't like to believe in science?
Yeah, well, that's been my frustration. We saw that maybe when COVID came out, and there was this, you know, farmers have extensive vaccination protocol for their cattle starting on day one when they're born. That's the very first thing you do is you vaccinate calves. And yet we saw this real pushback and kind of an anti-science, and it was hard to rectify those two things. Mm. And like so many things in this world today, people's responses are based more on their political leanings versus maybe what they would have said to be right. And we see that even when it comes to trade or other things now, how quickly talking points pivot based on whatever maybe the president says or whatever the popular thing is to do today.
One of the things that I think is cool about you, Sachil, is you were elected as a moderate. Yeah, you were a Democrat, but you were elected as a moderate. You have tons of rural, you talked about that in your district. And so, you know, you had no time for like polarity or anything. You just had to get stuff done, right? What is happening right now?
Oh, I mean, just things aren't getting done. So, you know, you think about some of the things that I worked on in the last year or so. One of it was modernizing our IT department, trying to get people with current skills, whether it was AI or better use of robotic processing, for example, into the department. And so a lot of those were the probationary employees who were hired. And now just the level of uncertainty, the whiplash of, well, you're being let go. Oh, no, actually, you're staying on. Or, I mean, one, you know, they are firing people without cause is what it comes down to. But two, even if they're not yet terminated, because the courts come back and say that it's not allowable, there's so much uncertainty. People don't want to work in that environment. So we're going to lose our best and brightest.
Yeah, and I want to ask about the uncertainty from an administration and a organizational standpoint, and then I want to ask about uncertainty what is the farmer going to think?
Yeah.
So from an organization, I just saw, was it 2 days ago, where the USDA had to hire back like 6,000 people. And who's going to want, number one, who's going to want to come back and be like, yeah, sign me back up for that? How is this making sense? What is being affected? What parts of the USDA?
Well, I mean, all over. So if you look at the Forest Service, which is part of USDA, they had over 3,000, I believe, employees who were originally terminated. And that's people all over the country. Or if you look at rural development, my former mission area, there was an incredible effort to rehire people in the state and local offices. So these are folks where if you are a part-time clerk and you're trying to get funding for your water system, or if you are a farmer trying to get a REAP grant, which is to get renewable energy on site on your farm to help drive down your energy costs, the people that you were working with every single day that you were talking to, many of those were let go. It's just the folks that you rely on to get a lot of the access to the support that farmers and people all across rural America deserve.
What type of like day-to-day interaction would farmers have with the USDA?
Well, yeah. So if you're paying your FSA loan, for example, you're going to go in every year, every planting season to apply for that. You're going to make your payments with these people. If you're applying for an NRCS cooperative agreement, so whether that's an irrigation system, whether that's a high tunnel, whether that's any number of programs, you're relying on them to help put together that plan. If you're working on high-speed internet applications, right, there was enormous investment in the Biden-Harris administration for high-speed internet, as well as reliable, affordable, clean energy in rural electric cooperatives. You were working with those engineers and those people who help process the applications and then provide the reimbursement. And that's a whole nother side. And then lastly, if you're going through a drought or if you're there's another disaster, those insurance payments are made by people at USDA. And so the timeliness of getting those payments out, that's all reliant on employees. And so there was no intent, there was no thought to how are we going to decrease the size of USDA. They just said, we're going to cut all probationary employees and look for any excuse to reduce anyone. And so that's hitting farmers, that's hitting rural people really hard.
It's interesting, the cuts, they're not strategic. It's just drunken, we're going to just hack and cut and all of that stuff. We have a fascinating discussion going on with former Deputy Secretary of Agriculture, Satchel Torres-Small, and my friend Daniel Olson. We're going to talk on the other side about how farmers are going to feel this uncertainty right on their doorstep here on the Rational Revolution. We'll be right back.